Welcome to the Trinity Life Podcast. The Trinity Life Podcast is designed to help our church family across both campuses connect with the hearts and stories of our pastors, elders, and ministry staff. In each episode, we step beyond the talking points and formal scripts to have a laid-back, relational, and heartfelt conversation with our leaders. Join us as we get to know the people behind the ministry, their journeys, and the passions that drive them to serve. So we're here with Bill Routley today. And just excited to hear his story and what God's doing in his life and what God's doing through his ministry here at Trinity Fellowship Big Rapids, but then as far as that relates to the Nuevo campus as well. So Bill, thank you so much for agreeing to be on here. It's been a busy day for you, but I'm glad we could make things work where we could hear your story. So thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. It's good to be here.
Good. So, Bill, typically how we start, we want to kind of know your story, how you came to faith in Christ and what you looked like before Jesus and what you looked like after Jesus and how all of that fleshed out. Start at the beginning. You were born at a very young age.
I was. I was born a very young age. I actually lived about 3/4 of a mile from here.
Really?
Yeah. Grew up in Big Rapids on Fuller Avenue. Right across from what now is Evergreen Terrace. When I was a kid, it was a working farm. Farmer had a team of horses that he did all of his own plowing, cutting the hay, raking it. He had it baled. And then from a young age, I would go and help him load that hay on wagons and mow it away in the barn. And I did that for quite a while. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm from a family of 10 kids.
Okay.
I'm number five.
Number five.
Yep.
Okay. And so you grew up in the church or the family was?
No, I did not grow up in church. And church was not a part of our family life. My mom did at some point decided that she would get us up Sunday mornings. We ought to go to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
There was a faithful guy down on Marson Shapley Drugstore in Big Rapids and drove an old beat-up Chevrolet, and he would drive around, pick kids up on Sunday mornings. We were some of those kids, myself and my younger brothers. The older ones didn't have anything to do with it. But he would just come every Sunday, and sometimes we'd be out ready to go, and sometimes we wouldn't, but he was faithful. Mm-hmm. So,
And what church was that? Do you remember?
It was First Baptist Church.
Okay.
Yeah, so primarily went to Sunday school. Typically, he brought us. We went to Sunday school and church.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often, I would take my nickel that I was supposed to drop in a collection plate and walk a block and a half downtown and go to the local drugstore and have a
kind of collection.
Yeah, right. So, And shamedly, a few times I even took a nickel out when I didn't have one.
Sure.
But not a Christian family at all. Mm-hmm. They had good values, but...
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. And then along the way, somewhere, somebody said something or God said something. What was the shift there?
Well, one of the Sundays that at about, I believe probably I was 12 years old, 13. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exact, but one of those Sundays, I actually went up to the Sunday morning service.
Mm-hmm.
And when the pastor gave the invitation... my heart was strangely warmed, and I went forward and gave my heart to Christ. And that night, he had us come back to be baptized. My dad didn't go. He didn't want any part of that. I found out later in life, he was from a very strict religious family.
Mm-hmm.
An aunt was actually a preacher. His sister was a very solid Christian, very, very pushy. He just rebelled, didn't want anything to do with it. His dad was never home, and he followed that pattern well. When we were kids, he was gone a lot. He was home every night, but drank a lot, so not a lot of courage. But anyway, I accepted Christ, and I know it was real. I was baptized that night. I've never had a desire to have that done over. I know that was the for real thing.
Absolutely. So, Bill, if I could back you up just a little bit. So the pastor gives this invitation. Was there any particular like word or phrase or concept or something that you remember sticking and being like, that's what got me? Sometimes it's a specific thing. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you just remember the warmth.
Right. Yeah. You know, I listened to John Angel's podcast earlier, and he had that word that, that came out, and I thought, did I have a word like that? And I said, you know, not really. It just, you know, I had seen all the flannel graph, all the Bible stories, all of that stuff through wonderful Sunday school teachers, and as much as a young hellion pays attention. Some of it stuck with me, and I liked it. So, no, there really wasn't a word. I guess probably the concept finally struck me that I was a sinner, and that and I did some things I wasn't proud of, even by the time I was 12, 13 years old. So I knew I wasn't right. So.
And would you say in general, I appreciate that you said you were strangely warmed. And I think there's a lot of people that have, again, to kind of, you know, again, dig into and just hear a little bit more about that. If some people have that concept where they are strangely warmed, and it's that relational side that God is just really, has really just spoken to them in a way that's relational, and they feel the good. And then there's some people that are just coming in terrified of hell. Do you remember maybe either side of that at all?
Yeah, I don't think I was ever terrified of hell.
Okay.
The strangely warm feeling came to me several times.
Okay.
Through my spiritual growth.
So, okay.
It through the years, I've had that happen, and it's just a constant reminder that Dallas Holmes had a song, "I Was There All the Time," waiting patiently, and boy, if that wasn't God waiting patiently for me, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, praise God for that. So you receive Christ at 12, 13 years old in this Baptist church in Big Rapids, Michigan.
Right.
And can you point to any changes? Did your behavior change? Did your feelings change? Did your want to change? Did your life change? What do you see coming out of that? Not much? Was it kind of silent for a while?
Well, from 12 to, it was like I said, around 12, I got involved with the youth group. There were some cute girls there.
And, well, of course, right?
Yeah, that's right. They, you know, they seemed to accept me quite well there. Not always the case as a teenager. My dad was a garbage collector. Mm-hmm. And today, those guys are stinking rich.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I said my dad made $20 a week and all we could eat.
You know? Right.
so I would have been considered probably the lower social economic level person. So I kind of had a chip on my shoulder through high school.
Mm-hmm.
Ran with some guys that I probably shouldn't have, but they accepted me because they were hoodlums like me. And so we had that in common. So we ran. But you know what? My dad had told me one of the few words of wisdom was that nothing good happens after midnight.
Boy, isn't that true?
It is. And it was very wise. And at the time I thought, yeah, what do you know? So, but with that came a curfew. And until I was 17, I respected that curfew. And the guys I ran with got into some pretty serious trouble after midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And I was never with them. I was never involved with it. So I think God had a hand on my life. Some people say, well, you were just lucky. Well,
there's a thing called grace.
It is.
Grace and luck can look a lot similar, can't they?
Absolutely. And, you know, a Holy Spirit conscious came into my life at 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I had more of an awareness of things when I did them that were wrong than I ever had.
So that awareness of good and evil, that Holy Spirit prompting of, Bill, this isn't right. So you would say that was kind of a major change at conversion, that you received the Holy Spirit and you even though you may not have followed it,
right?
That the Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak.
Right.
But you felt a really conviction over sin.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. We were married. Then I got married right out of high school.
Right out of high school. Did you meet her in the youth group?
No, I met her at the drive-in theater at a Dusk to Dawn show, like about 2 in the morning. So
I thought nothing good happened after 12 a.m.
Well, you know what? That's a good catch. That was the only good thing that happened to me.
Only good thing. So you can't say that you didn't tell your kids nothing good happens after midnight then, did you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You did? Oh, my goodness. And your wife was okay with that?
She was fine with that. Yeah, she was all right. But until you're the first one to ever point that out to me, so I got to go home and share that with her.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
You're going to have to stop saying that. You say, only one thing happens good after
right,
midnight.
That's right. So, yeah. So, you know, we started, we don't need to go into the stuff I did as a kid. You know, God forgives you for that stuff.
Sure.
But I met Sharon, and we've been married 65 years.
Praise
so, yeah,
God.
Yeah. You know, from the time I met her, I never dated, well, I snuck around a few times, but she was my main. Mm-hmm. I just fell in love with her, and I didn't date after that.
Mm-hmm. Right,
she was it. So yeah, it has been it. So
that's been so 65 years. So you get out of high school, and when you guys got married, were you actively following Christ together, or was there kind of another? I know a lot of people have their conversion.
Right.
And they have kind of like a little bit later in life, maybe 20s
right.
or so,
right.
they have this spiritual experience that just like, then they, it's like their life changes. There's a big external change
right.
that happens.
Right.
Tell me about that.
Well, no, we did not follow Christ. In fact, I was pretty much into the party scene and drinking. She didn't do a lot of that, but she went with me. We did a lot of carnal things,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't until, well, I would go out with my cousin Buddy Wachter. He was mm-hmm. a year older than me, and we'd have some pretty wild drinking nights.
Mm-hmm.
And by this time, I was, I think, 21. We had two children,
mm-hmm.
and I come home. This we were at a family reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And Buddy and I took off
mm-hmm.
and left her at the family reunion.
Mm-hmm.
She had the car. I went with Buddy. He didn't have a family. So we went bar hopping
mm-hmm.
and I got home about midnight and I come in that we live in the mobile home park across the river,
mm-hmm.
Came in there and there was nobody there.
Mm.
She had taken the kids and left and I wasn't in any shape to drive. So I didn't have a car anyway. She took it. So
mm-hmm, right.
The next morning she came back and she said, you're going to have to make a choice between your cousin, Buddy Wachter, and your family.
Mm.
And that was a no-brainer. I'd run with Buddy Wachter all my life and I did not want to grow old with him.
Right.
So I knew what was right. I knew what the values were.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm back to that. He was there all the time waiting
sure.
patiently and I don't know how he waited so long for me, but I said, okay, let's go to church. So I knew that's where my peace would be.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to a little Third Avenue Methodist Church across the river.
Mm-hmm.
And
just kind of picked one, stuck your finger in the Yellow Pages.
Right. It was close to our mobile home. And sure. so, I didn't even look in the Yellow Pages. But we went there and again, the pastor came the next day, and within 2 days, the pastor was there to visit us, and he said, mm-hmm. Encourage us. I said, well, I'll tell you right now, Reverend Bowders, I'm going to go to church, but I said, if I want a cigarette, I'm going to smoke one. If I want beer, I'm going to have one. He said, well, I don't blame you, Bill. He said, I'm not going to tell you you can't do either of those. He said, God will tell you when it's time to stop.
Hmm.
So I said,
wow.
Oh, okay, that's cool. So he was only there maybe a year, and then a young man came along. I'm a car nut. I've always loved cars. I was a mechanic. I drove Wrecker Curry's here in Big Rapids and
mm-hmm.
Went to Ferris, got my degree in automotive. It
mm-hmm.
was a struggle. But anyway, I like cars. I had a fast car.
Mm-hmm.
He was our preacher, loved to fix up wrecked cars. And,
mm-hmm.
And he was young, had a family. So we connected. He and his wife and Sharon and I, and he just had the love of Christ. It just, big old Kentucky guy, and it just flowed out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And that really got us started on our spiritual walk.
Was a really, so you're saying that the first pastor didn't get caught up in the weeds of drinking and smoking.
No.
And he allowed the Holy Spirit to work.
Yep.
So, and eventually God did lay that on your heart.
Right. Well, coming out of the Baptist church, you know, they had a motto, we don't drink and we don't smoke and we don't go with girls that do.
That's right.
I'm picking on them a little bit, but, mm-hmm. but to me, that specific denomination was full of do's and don'ts.
Sure.
And maybe they weren't, but maybe in my young
image. That's what you heard and that's what you experienced.
That's what I heard. I heard the ladies say some bad things about my mom and, or Sharon did when she had our little boy in the nursery with her. So, yeah, so I saw a more loving, gentle walk with Christ.
In the sure. And then the second pastor, when he came, he found something that you had in common and then just did life with you.
Right.
And that brought you into the family of God in terms of just fellowship and community.
Right. Yeah. If I could be selfish about it, I think God brought him there just for us.
Sure. Sure.
Our family's connected and, he just through their love and their gentle spirits, they just brought out a lot in us and we had some great experiences. They were only there less than a year.
Oh, right.
And then they moved to Elk Rapids. When I got my teacher's degree, we moved to Elk Rapids, and I
really
did automotive program up there.
Just connected with him?
Yep.
Or, okay.
He met the superintendent, who was a Christian. Mm-hmm. They wanted to do an automotive program, and he said, I got just the guy for you. So
really?
Yep. So we did that. Well, then within a year, he was gone from there, out to Nebraska.
Those Methodists, they move them right.
Yeah, I call them musical preachers.
Musical preachers, that's exactly it.
It's we didn't follow him out there.
Okay, you didn't?
No. But God has opened a lot of doors. One thing he did through that, a real significant spiritual growth for us. Glenn and Judy wanted to go to a spiritual life retreat at something out of the Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Clear Lake, down by Hastings.
Okay.
And we had said, yeah, we'd go with them. So by then they were up in Elk Rapids. We were down here. And Thursday night before they were going to pick us up Friday night, and they called Thursday night. I said, yeah, they said, we're going to pick you up. And I said, well, I don't think we're going to go. I got a car I need to work on. And I don't think I better do it. And all four of us are on the phone together. And Judy said, oh, Bill, come on. Well, I couldn't say no.
Well, sure, right.
Yeah, you know, so we went and had an experience with the Holy Spirit. Judy had at their youth group meeting on Wednesday, had poured, we're doing a spaghetti dinner, and she poured scalding water on her hand, and it was a third-degree burn, and it was nasty. And that Saturday night, it was physically healed.
Mm.
And, I mean, it was gone. There was no scar to this. She had no scar from it. It was just a tad bit of redness. By Sunday, it was gone. On the way home that Sunday, I was driving, and I just was overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. We just had to pull off the side of the road, and we just sat there and cried a while and laughed and prayed. So that was a really the big change. I wasn't a perfect Bill after that, but
right. Well, of course not. And still aren't, right?
No, absolutely. Still in progress.
Can I dig into that, you know, overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit concept? Because I think a lot of times, you know, I've been talking to some people recently about kind of spiritual encounters. And one of the things is sometimes we play off just a good feeling as just a good feeling. And really, it's an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Can you open up a little bit and tell us a little bit about more about that Holy Spirit experience? As you were driving, was it a feeling? Were you guys talking about something? Did God speak a word to you? What was that like?
Yeah, we were just talking about the weekend and the things that had happened. And there was a singer there, David Hemfling. Probably nobody knows his name. But he sang a couple of songs, His Eye Is on the Sparrow.
All right.
And I Know He Watches Me. And to this day, that I think that song was my trigger point. And it still will bring tears to my eyes. And I remember flashback to that day You know, it wasn't a, there was no loud sunburst. You know, the lightning didn't flash.
Right, right.
But it was a sensation. It was, to me, I guess, once I got out of the retreat setting,
mm-hmm.
and it really sunk in who God was.
Right.
And what he had done for me.
Mm.
And it was so overwhelming that I just couldn't drive for a few minutes.
Right.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of terminology I hear today is God wrecked me. Yeah. God wrecked me. And I couldn't drive. I couldn't, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Right.
And so, yeah, so many times and you could have just, you know, said, oh, it was just good music. No, it was more than that.
Right.
It was more.
Right.
But then to experience that with your wife, right, to be relationally connected through that. And again, looking back on a few things, I'm looking at the life of Bill and I'm saying, you know, God really made a point to connect with you relationally. He connected with you relationally when you, you know, when you were about to fall off,
right.
And your wife said, pick a relationship, right? He connected with you relationally with the pastors that came in, and the pastor said, come hang out with me. And he connected with you relationally with your wife driving down in the road in a car. And it's neat to kind of see these, you know, some of these mountaintop experiences for you were in the context of community. And I think it's so important, even as we talk about this podcast and this mission that we're working through, that Patrick has, you know, brought us through of this community focus and, you know, gospel life roots, right? And I think it shows up in the context of community. It's just so interesting that here we are,
right?
You know,
right.
Talking about the Holy Spirit coming to Bill and working a lot of that through community.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So you're attending this. So you're in Elk Rapids, you're teaching automotive, that pastor leaves, you're still connected with a Methodist church up there.
Right.
Okay. What happens next?
Well, to get there, shortly after I started going to the Methodist church, it's hard for young guys to get a job. I ended up getting a job as a working nights at a gas station, ended up record drive,
mm-hmm.
Working full-time there for several years,
mm-hmm.
And then going to Ferris. So I got to know Glenn and Judy, the miss, while I was at Ferris.
Okay.
And then I decided I was going to be a mechanic. I did 2 years, so... bear in mind, I'm working 50, 60 hours a week, going to school full-time
at
Ferris.
Right.
Actually ended up, I did it reverse. I would, my boss said, what hours are your classes this semester, this term? He said, tell me when you want to work. So it was marvelous. I'd go to school from 7:30 to 3:30 in the afternoon, and then I'd go to work until midnight. And then I'd go home, and then I'd study, and.
Mm.
And I get up next morning and do the same thing. And
up the next morning. How can you get up?
Yeah.
There's no sleeping happening.
Well, sometimes final exam times, I'd bring two, three of my buddies over with me, and we'd study together till 3 or 4 in the morning.
Wow.
And through it all, my wife was phenomenal.
Mm.
I tell you, we have just had such a great relationship.
And how many kids do you have?
We have 3.
And did you have those 3 kids at
the
time?
We had 2 when I started. Our daughter started kindergarten same time I started college. So, yeah. And I wasn't a good student. In high school, my teachers voted me least likely to succeed. So I'm happy to say they were wrong.
Uh-huh.
We did well. I don't want to
skip over the fact that Sharon kept that household going while you were working and schooling.
Right.
And, you know, trying to make this all work and provide and invest in yourself to provide more. I mean, Sharon, if you're listening, you go, girl.
I can't say enough good about her. It was definitely teamwork. If either of said folded. In fact, a local doctor that was a strong, he and his wife were great encouragers for us, would come into the gas station and talk to us. And he said the one bit of advice he gave, they always were encouraging, but the one thing he said, I was really down one. And he said, Bill, he said, it's okay to get down once in a while, but he said, don't both of you get down at the same time.
Right.
He said, that's easy to say, but don't get down together. Just make sure that one of you stays positive. And she was amazing. She's a very quiet gal. She's not super aggressive. She's just sharing. She's just a powerful Christian lady. God. And she's, her, whenever people would say, yeah, what do you do, Bill? And I said, well, I taught automotive. And said, what'd you do, Sharon? She said, well, I eat chocolates and read books. So, but we, at a young age, determined, and we were blessed to be able to do it, but we lived on what I made wherever I worked. And she did a few part-time jobs, but great at home.
Sure.
She's marvelous with finances. I'm terrible with them. Pastor Gary DeBock did a the Taylor Johnson test with us, and he was looking them over, and he said, just looking at these results, Bill, he said, I'll bet you let Sharon handle the finances, don't you? I said, absolutely. That's her gift, and I was a smart enough man to realize that and to honor her with the privilege of managing our money.
Right.
So
whatever you had, right?
Yeah, right.
Well,
yeah, there were some years we didn't have much.
Right. Praise God for godly wives. Maybe you ought to start having the wives join us for these podcasts. It'd be interesting to hear that. Maybe we'll have to circle back and do a round
podcast two. Of the wives.
Do a round two, right?
Yeah.
Well, so good. So you finish school, you go up there to Elk Rapids, right? Or hang out there for a little while. How long were you in Elk Rapids?
We're only there 1 year. I was new into, I taught at Ferris a couple of years as a teacher assistant while I was getting my degree. So that was my first year. I set up the shop, started a whole new program. They were having millage issues. At Chippewa Hills School, over by Remus Barreton.
Okay.
They were building a new school. The superintendent was a friend of my family, and he said, Bill, why don't you come down here and set up our program?
Okay.
So I set that one up. I was there 4 years.
Did you move back? So you moved over there?
We moved to Stanwood.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah,
so
not far. So you still had some roots. And
well, by that time, we went from 3rd Avenue. We ended up leaving and going to Northland United Methodist in Stanwood.
Oh, okay.
So got very involved with the youth there. I'd never, we had just... We were new, learning the Bible, new with all of this stuff, but we did youth group with another couple that we became good Christian friends with, and
So you end up back in Stanwood.
Yep. And then 4 years after that, they hired me at Ferris to teach.
Okay.
So I was there for 33 years.
Oh, so you stayed at Ferris teaching automotive. Right.
Yep.
Got you. What brought you to Trinity Fellowship then?
Well, during the time that I was teaching and going to Northland, again, we had a phenomenal pastor there, actually born and raised in Barreton, went into pastor after later in life, just encouraged us, and I was feeling led to do something. I thought, well, maybe I'm supposed to be a preacher. I went through the Methodists. They have a lay pastor's training program. So I started that. Two of us started it together. And about halfway through that program, we went to another spiritual life retreat, and Kenneth Kaiser was there. Dr. Kaiser was at Asbury Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky. And by then I was doing a lot of lay speaking in churches, all the Methodist churches, do Sunday morning services, pastors on vacation, sick, whatever. And people, well, you really should be a preacher. Well, I thought, well, maybe God's calling me to that. So we got in the car with our two kids and drove all day to Wilmore, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Had set up an appointment with this Dr. Kaiser and said, you know, we feel like God is leading us to be preacher, to go into the ministry. Well, all the way down there, we were asking each other different questions, things, you know, well, what? Well, when we got in there and started talking to Dr. Kaiser, as he was talking to us, he answered every one of those questions without us asking them.
Mm.
It was just like the Holy Spirit had given him that wisdom to, I'm sure he did, gave him the wisdom to do that. But when it was all done, he said, Bill, he said, we need you right where you're at. He said, it is important to have Christian teachers in our public schools. Said, we're going to come a day where there aren't going to be many.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very prophetic.
Mm.
So he said, I feel God has you right where he wants you. Mm-hmm. And we left there totally comfortable, totally confident that my role was to be a Christian college professor. And I always proclaimed that the first morning of every term.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was 10 weeks and it went to semesters. But my first introduction was, hi, I'm Professor Bill Routley. I want you to know right now I'm a Christian. I don't swear. I don't do the wild party stuff. I'm not interested in hearing of your parties and your escapades. I'm here for you. If you ever want me to pray with you, I'll do that. I won't push it down you. You're going to see it by my actions, or you're not going to be impressed anyway. And that was all I would say.
Mm.
And occasionally a young student would come up and ask me to pray with them or say, hey, can you help me with this? Or one kid came up a few years after he graduated and said, I came to Ferris all ready to party and have a wild time. Said, I come out of a church, strong church family, and said, the first thing I hear in the first class is, hi, I'm a Christian, and he said, I heard I'm going to be watching you. So
I didn't say that.
Yeah,
I didn't say that.
Yeah, so he said, it was a check and balance. So that was affirmation that Chuck Kaiser was right. So
Right. Praise God for that. Yeah. So you finished out of that, retired. So
we were at Northland for 20-some years. We were very involved. We did a lot. Went to all the praise gathering for believers that Bill Gaither had. You know, one thing that we learned is you don't grow in a church environment. You can grow a lot through Sunday morning worship. But for us, the strong, firm growth came in doing other Christian things, getting out, living it during the week, hearing these who we think are solid rock, never have an issue, Christian entertainers, and hear them share from their hearts and realize that they're just everyday Joes and they have hurts and heartaches, and they take them to the Lord.
Mm.
And it just strengthens you. They give you the stuff to come back. Leaders in churches burn out because they don't spend time away from the church getting their batteries recharged. So we made sure we did that.
You know, again, going back to that sense of community and living out your faith, living out your faith in context of community. You know, you mentioned it's these leaders, these, you know, big Sunday morning things. Yes, you can gain there, but there's so much to be had, as we've seen from your life, in the context of community that God just brings that out. Stories, sharing stories like this with people, new believers or people who are questioning, or as a matter of fact, I pointed somebody that I was sharing Christ with this past week. I pointed them to the conversation we had with John Angel, just because there was something in that story that related to what I was talking to with this guy. And so if you're not in Christian community, if we're not doing things like these podcasts and having dinner together and sharing meals together and doing a small group together, all you've got is what one guy says on Sunday morning, and we love Patrick, but he ain't it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
There is so much more to the world of faith
than
Sunday morning. And I think it's important that you say that. Do you see from the growing up to now where you are at Trinity, do you see some of that stuff happening here at Trinity that was so influential in your faith journey in terms of the sense of community and people connecting?
Oh, I really do, yes. I think the caliber of sermons, the emphasis on being born again, on accepting Christ, and on changing your way of walk, on how do I be a good husband? How do I be a good parent? I see the influx of multi-generation, and that's so important, and the interaction, for the most part, the adults, as you get older, you become less tolerant sometimes.
Sure.
But the patience, the acceptance, the joy that the young families and the young kids bring to the older generation, just really, really drives home the concept of the family of God. You asked about earlier what brought us to Trinity, and it was a very difficult thing for us to leave Northland, but it was at a point where Northland was, in our opinion, we weren't growing spiritually.
Sure.
And in your Christian walk, if you're not constantly moving forward in it, you're not staying status quo. You're going backwards.
Right.
You have to work at growing, or you have to continue to grow in your faith. And we didn't feel that growth there. Mm-hmm. And we'd been there until 1992. So from 1967 to 1992.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a hard, hard decision for us to make. I felt that if we left, I might not go back to another church. Or we may become unsettled, become church hoppers. And
right.
And either of those are sad situations.
Sure.
Once you become unsettled, then the devil can get in there, and he can keep you unsettled, and he just has a foothold that he shouldn't have.
Right.
So when we decided to leave there, it was a hard thing to do, but we came to Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Three different people had invited us to come to Trinity. They all worked at Ferris, and they'd see me in the hall, and they knew as a Christian, they'd say, "You need to come to Trinity, brother. You need to come and see what's happening there."
Mm-hmm.
Never set foot in the door until that first Sunday we came, and we've never gone anyplace else.
Mm-hmm.
We go back occasionally and visit at Northland.
Sure, sure.
Do different things. But we just knew from the time we sat there for the first 6 weeks, every Sunday, we just sat and cried. People would start to not sit next to us, I think.
We're criers. So go in and let them sit in their row.
Yep.
So sure they got tissues, we'll be over here when they're done.
So Pastor Gary said, we talked to him, and he said, just come and heal. We don't realize that we're broken, that our spirit is broken.
Absolutely.
It was the greatest advice. Just come and heal. We're too quick to push people into filling empty spots, and get to know the person first. Mm-hmm. Let them heal and find out where their heart aches. Our small groups are phenomenal. A lot of healing goes on in our small group, and I'm sure it does in others, but you've got to get to know people, and that's what we did here before. I'm the go-getter. I'm the one that has a tendency to get involved in leadership roles, so Sharon is content to just support me.
Sure, sure. Well, again, here we are, another display of God acting through community.
Yep.
That healing didn't say anything about Gary's preaching. You didn't say anything about the singing on Sunday morning. You said the healing in the context of small groups. I guess you did say you were in tears on Sunday mornings. Yeah. Okay, let me back out of that. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, that healing in the context of small groups, Gary relationally coming to you and saying, just take time to heal.
Right.
And that concept of somebody getting in your space and knowing what you're going through, again, is just more of these echoes of community. And so it's just community, and the Holy Spirit working through that, I think, is just so huge as a part of your story. And so you're attending Trinity for a while, and at some point the Lord lays on your heart, you know what, I need you to step up into leadership here. What did that look like?
He did. I wasn't sure. I was a little reluctant at first, but I was involved in a men's small prayer group, and then eventually we got started talking about building a new church, and I just felt the Holy Spirit urging me to become a part of the leadership. They were talking about, Pastor Gary asked if I would consider a role as an elder in a church. And I wasn't sure what that involved. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I would pray about that, and asked several of the people how they felt about me doing that. And I felt the Lord leading me into that role.
Mm. Yeah. So what does that look like? I think you're the first elder
right.
we've talked to.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So what does that look like to be an elder at Trinity Fellowship, and you know, now an elder over two campuses, right? So
right.
what does that look like from a day-to-day, but let's start as from a day-to-day perspective, because I think there's a lot of curiosity out there. What do you do? Right. You go to meetings and
right.
what?
Right. We try to limit the number of meetings. As an oversight elder, I'm on the leadership team, so we meet with that once or twice a month. Then we have a monthly gathering of Saturday morning where all the elders and pastors get together and pray for each other and lift up the congregation. And the role of the elders are to guide the pastor mm-hmm. and to make sure the church is healthy
mm-hmm.
and to make sure the congregation is well cared for. You'll hear concepts a lot of times in talk about church. Well, our pastor never comes and visits me, or mm-hmm. it's a pastor's role to visit everybody. When you look at 700 or 800 active attendees, that's asking a lot for a pastor to do that. I think our pastors do a good job of as best they can, but it's also part of the elder's role to follow up mm-hmm. and to keep track of the pulse of the congregation, do things like child dedications and baptism ceremonies and new member interviews. Being a congregationally led church
mm-hmm.
means a congregation basically is the overseer. They're all the major decisions are voted on there, but the day-to-day operation, leadership does that. The elders oversee leadership. So there's some church discipline. That's a yuck part of it. It doesn't happen very often, but occasionally you get an errant person that, mm-hmm. That needs an elder or two to talk to them and pray mm-hmm. through something with them. Pray and laying on of hands. I'm a very firm believer in the power of prayer and the power mm-hmm. of healing prayers. Have experienced many times when
mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is moved and people have physically, emotionally, spiritually mm-hmm. been healed. So that's all a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I get the sense. I was about to ask you what your least favorite part about being an elder is, and sounds like church discipline might be a kind of low on everybody's list.
Yeah.
But what would you say is the most enjoyable or most fruitful part of your ministry as an elder at Trinity Fellowship? Where do you see God moving the most in your role as an elder?
Probably the most enjoyable is new member interviews. I love the baptism interviews, especially with young kids and teenagers and mm. college age kids, to hear them, the fresh, the exuberant, the excitement that's in their lives. As you get older, you're not quite as excited and enthusiastic about life, and mm-hmm. it's too bad because if you live a whole life as a Christian, you're really blessed.
Absolutely.
But to be involved with probably the biggest joy is leading someone to Christ.
Mm.
That's such a joy.
Oh, praise God.
Yeah. So And you don't know. The first person that Sharon and I were involved with was at a youth conference at Taylor University. We took a group down from the other church.
Mm-hmm.
And after the speaker had talked on this Sunday afternoon, he said any of the youth that wanted to accept Christ, go to different spots, and it was in a gymnasium, go up and sit in different spots, and somebody will come and pray with you. And so Sharon and I saw this young man sitting up there, and I'd never led anybody to Christ before. Mm-hmm. And we looked, and I said, well, let's go. So we went up and talked to him and prayed with him, and I know I stumbled through it terribly.
Mm-hmm.
And after we left on the way home, we said, boy, we really blew that. We were there the next year, and all of a sudden we hear this guy say, Bill, Sharon. And we turn around, it was that young man we'd led to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It's not about us. It's about the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
He was just so full of joy. And
praise God.
It wouldn't have mattered what we had said.
Right, right.
The Holy Spirit had touched him. And
you were obedient.
Yeah,
and
he was his. So
yeah,
being obedient, that's such a critical word for Christians. I hear many of them say, well, I've never led anybody to Christ. I wouldn't know how to do it, you know. Just be obedient. Just mm-hmm. share why you're a Christian. That's right. All it takes.
Right. So you appreciate the stories, the baptism, etc. Sounds like I might have a podcast co-host here, folks. I don't know. It's like hearing those stories. I do too.
Yeah.
It's been an absolute joy to just hear these stories and kind of tease out these ideas and these concepts and mini stories within the story and just see where the hearts of people are. What are you excited for going forward from here with what you see going on at Trinity Fellowship, both in Big Rapids and in Newaygo? What gets you excited specifically, tangibly, that you can see going on right now?
Well, I'm excited with the growth. I look at Newaygo and I look what's happened there in the past 4 or 5 years. I've got some cousins that go over there. The Pheasantons are, if you know the Pheasantons, being mm-hmm. in construction, mm-hmm. I'm sure you do.
Yep.
That's my cousin. Mm-hmm. I just have seen the growth. I've seen the youth come in and seen mm-hmm. the young families.
Mm-hmm.
I think God's got a plan for mm-hmm. West Central Michigan. I think mm-hmm. that Trinity is an integral part of that plan.
Mm-hmm.
When we first started to pray about as elders, about having we were praying about doing a satellite church.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, okay, we're great planners. So we said, okay, let's set a 3-year plan together to launch
mm-hmm.
a satellite church. 3 months later, the elders from Newaygo were here saying, we are in trouble. We're going to have to close our doors. Will you
mm-hmm.
adopt us?
Mm-hmm.
And we said, absolutely.
There went your plan.
There went our plan.
God kind of fast-forwarded you a little bit, did he?
And that's the exciting thing about God. As soon as you think you got it all figured out, he's got a better plan.
Mm. Mm.
So, you know.
You're excited to see some of the growth that's happening.
I am.
Gotcha.
And I, you know, I like John 3:16 obviously says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Mm. We need to read verse 17 along with it.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, it has been wonderful to speak with you and hear your story, hear what makes you tick a little bit, and hear what you're excited about, and just really looking forward to more of this podcast, more of this interaction, and if you really do love hearing those stories, maybe we'll have to have you co-host every once in a while, huh?
All right. Sure, I'll be glad to do that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Bill, and we'll see you Sunday.
Okay. Take care. God bless.